There were a lot of traders here in Chicago who couldn't make the transition to electronic trading. It's very common for people to lose everything. It's usually because they get greedy or they get overconfident, because that's when they stop managing their risk. You have to evaluate your positions. There's no such thing as a sure thing. And you really need to manage your cash.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Anarchy Podcast. 99% of traders will never make consistent profits. So why listen to the 99% of advice? On this show, we're going to challenge some of the most hallowed and repeated tenets of trading, and in doing so, set you up to succeed where others fail. Spoiler alert, we don't have a secret strategy or magic wand that will let you skip out on the hard work of learning the markets, but we can debunk viewpoints that are holding you back. If that sounds good to you, come join us. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we are lucky enough to have Annie Logue, the writer of Day Trading for Dummies. The Four Dummies series is obviously incredibly popular. They've been around for a very, very long time. I grew up reading many, many different topics, and she's the writer of Day Trading for Dummies. And we're just, again, very fortunate to have her on. Annie, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you, and thank you for having me.
Well, of course, we're very fortunate. So I'd read Day Trading for Dummies briefly. I mean, a really, really long time ago. It's been a really long time. I didn't remember any specifics, so I refreshed myself on it. But again, thank you for writing that book. It's really, really, really good. There's a lot of great stuff in there.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask Levi about his exposure to the just like Four Dummies line, it was mom and dad bought him a book on electrical for dummies when he was 14 years old, gave him the book and then told him to put all the electrical into our house that we were renovating. We only blew up the house once. So that was only gotten,
you know, less than 100 awful shocks. So, you know,
yeah,
it's you know, the publisher just does such a fantastic job at figuring out what it is people want to know. And people want to know everything. So we have the fifth edition of Day Trading coming out this month. So it's different from the version you read. It has been revised consistently. Cryptocurrency wasn't even a thing for the first, second, or third editions. So we've got some coverage of cryptocurrency in there, a little bit on how to use AI to improve the programming modules that brokerage firms have, because that is a sweet spot. And also some more information on keeping a trading journal, because those have become automated.
Awesome. We love trading journals. So that is we've been using that a lot recently, especially I've at least personally had a couple of rough weeks of trading, so was doing a lot of reviewing of the trading journal. So love to hear that. So tell us a little bit, like, how did you get into writing books about day trading? Like, it's a pretty niche area. What got you started with that?
Well, I started, years ago, I had a traditional finance job. I worked for an investment bank. I was a research analyst, but I had a lot of friends on the trading desk. So I knew a lot about what they were doing. And I always liked the traders because they were so straightforward. They didn't mess around one way or the other. They were happy, they told you. If they were unhappy, they told you. They didn't play games. And I really liked that. I started writing about business and finance in general because I found out there was just huge demand for writers who were interested in this stuff and who wanted to talk to others who were doing it. And Wiley Publishing approached me about doing hedge funds for dummies in 2006, which was the first dummies book I did. And it was a lot of fun. It was a topic that I knew a little bit about, but then I had to get out and talk to people who were doing it and do a lot of research, and it just tons of fun. That's what I love to do. And they asked me to do day trading. And that was an interesting one. I want to say at the start, I am not a trader. I am not cut out to trade. And I know that about myself. But this gave me an opportunity to go and talk to people. And I'm based in Chicago, so it was easy to find people at the Board of Trade and the SIBO and really like get into what do they do, what makes somebody a success. And the two things that are will make people a success, number one, tracking trades and evaluating what you track. And number two is having a money management system. And a third thing, honestly, is with the book, I think if people read it and realize that they're not cut out to be traders, that will save them 2 tons of money because it's not for everybody. But for people who are good at it, it's great.
Yeah. So that was, I wanted to mention at some point. So that's a great, great way for me to come into this because I wanted to ask you when I was rereading the book, that was one point that jumped out to me that I really appreciated because not a lot of people are very honest about the struggles and you kind of start off the book kind of just going, hey, wait a second, let's pause for a second. Are you sure you want to do this? Which is really good. Now, it's kind of piggybacking off that, you said you're not cut out for, or at least don't have any interest. Can you give a brief like summary of what is the profile of somebody who might be good at day trading and who should avoid it and kind of maybe apply that to you and in your life?
I always laugh. There's a trader I know who says that trading is video games and psychology. And I love that line. And I think there is something to that. Like if you're playing video games, can you stay focused or do you get distracted? Can you follow the game to the end or do you get waylaid by different traps and things? And so I think that's one way to kind of think about it. And then, and I don't concentrate well, you know, I've got like I want to research. I want to get way into things. And that is not good for a trader. I will tell you that right now. If you like doing research, if you want to like tear apart a balance sheet and find out what's going on, you're going to be a crummy trader. Okay. Because traders have to think about what they see on the chart in front of them at that moment. And they can't let themselves get distracted by all of the noise, all of the background, right? And so I think that alone is one sign of whether or not you're good. And then if you get into the psychology part of Roger's video games and psychology description, you know, how do you handle setbacks? How do you handle doubt, fear, greed, uncertainty, which will destroy a trader? There's like here in Chicago, there are psychologists who specialize in working with people who are trading down at the board because they can get into their heads. They can be doing fine and then they get into their heads and they have trouble getting out of it. And I think that's, you know, are you able to stay impersonal? Are you able to keep your passions down when markets are moving against you? Because the market, increasingly, it's not even a person. It's all electronic trading. And if you're going to let yourself get psyched out by what you see, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to lose money. And you're also going to like have more stress in your life than you need to have. So again, this is kind of, is this something that you think is fun where you can stay focused and you can manage your emotions? Or is this something where you're going to get distracted, you're going to get dragged down? Because there are other ways to make money and there are other ways to spend your time.
Yeah, it's funny. I sent out a tweet a couple of weeks ago saying pretty much the same thing. It's like, there's definitely a time to put your head down and keep going. And then there is a time to go, hey, am I even enjoying this? Because there are a million ways to make money. And day trading is a real hard time to make money. Now, you talked about it is like day trading is very unique because you have the ability to lose money rather than most jobs where you just don't make money if you're bad, but you have the ability to lose money. And so it's funny you mentioned there, like, did you hear about people who have experience of being good and then like losing it? Because that happened, like a great example of this is like baseball. It's like people get the yips where they'll be really good and then they just lose it because it's like it's mental. It's a very mental game. Like, do you see that happen? Did you hear about that happening a lot? And is there a way for
it has
people
happened?
Through it?
And it's been interesting. You know, there were a lot of traders here in Chicago who couldn't make the transition to electronic trading because they could manage everything when they were in the pit. And then, I mean, pit trading's been over for, you know, I think there might still be one or two pits, but it's kind of an artifact. You know, it's like some people still like the idea of open outcry. So I don't know. But I think, yeah, it's very common for people to lose everything. And it's usually because they get greedy or they get overconfident, because that's when they stop managing their risk, right? You always, always, always have to have some kind of downside protection in there in the form of a stop. And you have to evaluate your positions, and there's no such thing as a sure thing, right? And you really need to manage your cash. So the simplest way, which is the William Gann system, is just you never put more than 10% of your capital on any one trade, right? And that way you can have a minimum of 10 positions. And if one of them craps out, you still have others, right? Yeah. So doing that, even if you are sure it's a good thing, there are more complicated money management systems, especially as you collect more data about your own performance so that you get your own edge, your own odds. But if you're just starting out, just start with a nice, simple GAN system, 10%. That's it. And it does seem counterintuitive because you're like, well, but that's a sure thing or it's a good thing. But the fact of the matter is half the time it's not good. So you want to be able to protect those losses and you want to have powder so that you can get back in. And that's how you're going to last.
And nothing is a sure thing in trading, right? We all know that honestly, the way most people blow accounts is they know it's a sure thing. So they move their stop loss and that sure thing drives them directly into the ground, even for experienced traders. So, so that's so true. So Annie, let me ask you, okay, you have, you know, day trading for dummies, for someone who is just getting into day trading, like, why would they buy the book? Can you just give us like an overview? Like, we're starting to talk, I think, around the subject, but would love to hear from you directly. Okay, I like this, our podcast, 95% of them are new traders. Mm-hmm. Like, why should they buy the book? What's in it? And how could it help them? Especially, you know, in this day and age, everything is on YouTube and podcast. It's all audio. So why book? And you're talking to Levi and I, we love books. Levi, actually, I like sharing tidbits about Levi. Of course, this is what happens when you do a podcast with your brother. Levi, when he was in high school, spent 1 year reading so many books on one side. He would never switch side. He laid on his left side that he actually caused himself to have back problems because he would never turn over. He would lay on his left side, head propped up, and he caused significant damage to his actual body because he would lay on one side without moving for hours, and not hours, hours over the course of days, weeks, and months. Very impressive. So we love reading. And of course, yeah, love books.
Took us a while to figure out what was wrong, but anyway, yeah, like, why is book form kind of valuable here in a world of kind of visuals online?
Because it's an easy reference. You can go back when you want to look something up. Like, you know, you're trading, and then you're like, hey, maybe I want to try something else. Or, hey, I got this statement from my broker and I don't understand it. Or, hey, it's time for me to do my taxes and I'm a little confused. So I think that there's some good reasons to have it as a reference. I think that there's some good ways. It has some good information about how to set up back tests and about how to evaluate them, about, you know, some basic strategies so that you can mix things up. I don't get into strategies in a lot of detail. First of all, because I'm not a trader and that's not my expertise. But secondly, because strategies change a lot. You know, it's a known factor that the market moves quickly and there's things that work for a while and then they don't work anymore. And so then you have to research and test something else. And I think that's why I don't get into it. And a lot of people who do get into strategies are selling services to help you learn their strategy, and which is good if it's a good strategy. But that's something else I get into is how to evaluate all of these people coming at you and trying to sell you things, because some of them are going to be worth the money, but some of them aren't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love that. Cause we do the same. So we've had this podcast for a while. We do not talk strategy, even though we ourselves day trade. We've given kind of a brief summary of what we do, but we don't really talk strategy because in our opinion, most of day trading anyway, isn't strategy is just kind of a lens where you focus your attention. That's pretty much all it is, because like you said, strategies change. There's nothing inherent in a strategy that makes money. It's not like A plus B equals C. Like there's a lot more soft skills there. So I do appreciate that, because a lot of people do just talk strategy, and you're right. It is 100% a way to sell stuff, because it's much easier to sell, hey, I got a magic strategy for you. Give us money and I'll make you money. It's way easier to sell that than maybe some of the more, I don't know, softer skills.
If I had a magic strategy, I would not be talking to you right now.
No, you would not.
No, I would be on the beach in my private mansion in Maui, my private beach in my private mansion. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you mentioned a few things that you do cover through the book, like taxes and stuff like that. Like, could you elaborate a little bit more? Like, yeah, what is covered in the book, kind of in breath, kind of in depth? Like, maybe just take us through kind of like, so someone who's not familiar with the book at all, what is covered in it? And what would be, you know, be really helpful, especially for a new trader to know that's covered?
I've got a lot of basic terms in there, which can help people get started. Again, you could look them up online too, but it's faster sometimes to just read them. And descriptions of a lot of the different asset classes, because people who are new traders sometimes don't realize that there are things like mini futures out there, so that you can trade futures contracts and you get that nice 60-40 tax treatment. And you can do it with relatively small amounts of money. There's also explanations of things like leverage, which is very important for generating a profit for day trading, but it does add risk. So, you know, most traders are going to be using leverage, but they need to pay attention. They need to be especially careful about dealing with certain underregulated international brokerage firms that will try to push them into extremely risky contracts and currency contracts. And, you know, I was like lurking on a Reddit message board and people were talking about getting VPNs so that they could open offshore accounts. And it's like, no. That's a bad idea. Like, take the money you would have spent on your VPN and put it in the bank, do anything with it. So I go into a lot of that thing. I do spend a lot of time on money management, trade planning, and trade tracking. because I think ultimately those are the things that separate successful long-term traders from people who do it for a little bit and get bored. And the money management is key because you got to like protect your losses. If you look at it mathematically, all day trading, like all day traders, the good ones, the bad ones, if you look at them in aggregate, it's a break-even proposition, right? There's a winner, there's a loser, it's a zero-sum game, right? So if you've got like 50-50 odds, that's not bad, but you can improve those odds if you curtail your losses so that your profits can contribute more, right? If any one trade has the option of being a winner or a loser, and you limit the effect of your losers, then your winners can generate more value for you and can grow the size of your account over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's okay. A layman's way of putting it for a beginner, essentially risk to reward. So really like the way of putting that. It's another way to put it that I think is very easy to understand there. So I really like that.
So that's what you have to focus on. And that's why having a money management system becomes important, because then, you know, if you place 10 trades, 5 are winners, 5 are losers, you cap your losers so you don't lose more than 10% on them. Your winners can get 20, whatever, more than that. And then suddenly your account value starts to grow.
Totally makes sense. And yeah, it's something that we talk about a lot is, honestly, if you want to be a good trader, you just have to be able to manage your risk. It really is what it comes down to. Do you cover prop firms in your book at all?
A little bit. Like what, Top Step? And there's a couple others.
Oh, there's a bunch of them now. We've been discussing them because a bunch of them have been, crashing and burning recently, and they've been in the news a lot with, multiple ones of them either getting shut down or not being able to take U.S. clients now because they're regulated and everything. So I was just curious how much that was covered in the book or not.
A little bit. I mean, it's an option for traders who want more trading capital, but you do have to demonstrate your abilities, and then somebody's going to take a cut of your profits. So I think it's an option for some people. I don't know that it's the best route for most people. Some of them do have traders who will work with you to help you develop a strategy and things like that. But if you could develop a strategy well enough to qualify to join a prop firm, then you're probably okay on your own.